This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We bring him in every Tuesday, 10 o'clock, and that, of course, is Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing?
We're hanging in there. Obviously, a lot of Giants conversation today, and I think we're being realistic, and I think we're being fair. Frustrated with the loss. Obviously, a couple of plays that you wish you had back. Getting to the four-yard line to start a drive and not getting a touchdown is upsetting. The pick at the end of a 19-play drive, very upsetting. But overall, I think we're being fair. And yes, it's a loss that stinks, and they had opportunities to win. But I thought, and I want to know your take, the Giants had a lot of positives from last night's game.
Yeah, no question about it. I think the biggest positives were they were competitive. They played with a lot of energy. With that said, the biggest concern, if we go back a year ago, the conversation we had, like most people did, was Daniel Jones and his proclivities to turn the ball over. He had 23 a year ago, second most in the league. And it was a really weird game. You know, the Giants only had three drives in the second half. And obviously the big one was the 19-play drive that ended with the pick. And that's oftentimes the difference between winning and losing. But I thought their lack of talent showed up, but I thought they were really well coached, and thought they played with energy, and overall, I thought there were things to be encouraged. But when the opposition converts 53% third down and you give up 100 yards to a backup running back and Benny Snell, those would be the things I'd be concerned about.
Mike, when you look at this Pittsburgh Steelers team and you're having a chance to see Ben come back from the elbow surgery, what are your expectations now for this Steelers team?
Yeah, I'm still, you know, very cautious, Rick, just because he's 38 years old. I thought he played better as the game went on. There was clearly a lot of rust there, but you could just tell that he knew, like, for example, when it was cover zero, meaning that there was going to be more rushers coming than there were defenders, and he was able to bail out and still make a touchdown throw. So I think mentally it's still there. It's just physically it's going to take a while. And again, in that division, Rick, I think clearly, like, he's at best the third best quarterback. You know, I would take Lamar Jackson before him. I know it's only one game, but Joe Burrow, obviously the arrow is up on him. You know, Baker Mayfield, obviously, you know, there's some concerns there, but he's 38. He's made a lot of money. He's won championships. So, you know, we'll see how the year goes for him.
Mr. T, Evan Engram is a player that the jury is still out on, even after his first three seasons with Big Blue. Going into year four, you'd like to see more in his season debut. He looked like a liability for the Giants yesterday. What's your evaluation on the player?
You know, Chris, as a former defensive lineman, like, there's such a bullseye on him. When they ask him to pass protect, it's unbelievable that there was a couple times, and it happens, it wasn't only him, but Tuilolo gave up a sack as well. He can't pass protect, and I don't know why they ask him to do it. He's terrible at it. Most tight ends are. It's definitely a concern. You know, when you think about it, he had seven targets and only two receptions, so I would have a huge question mark on him. I don't know if he fits the Joe Judge sort of style that we saw kind of fly all over the field last night, which, again, are great reasons to be encouraged. I don't know if Engram really fits with, like, what they're doing long term.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So, obviously, Barkley did not get anything done last night. He had one decent pass catch, did very little outside of that. Was it a product of he wasn't good? Was it the offensive line that wasn't good? Or was it a combination of both?
I think their offensive line is going to be better in pass protection than it is going to be in the run game, and that kind of showed up. You know, Nick Gates, I think, is average. I like their guards. Cam Fleming's just going to be, you know, an average kind of hold-the-fork guy. I just think it's going to take some time, especially in the run game. I think that's a really good front they're going against. That front seven arguably is the best in the NFL. But, look, when you have Saquon Barkley, he's averaging 0.4 yards a rush, that is concerning. We saw his explosive show in the pass game. I thought he looked dynamic, hard to tackle in space, and they got to figure out ways for him to get his touches. So, well, you know, if we talked a year ago and we said the offensive line was catastrophic, it's not that bad, so it's definitely going the right direction. I think Andrew Thomas will be absolutely fine, but the run game blocking has to get better.
Yeah, but Mike, you drafted him with a second overall pick, and I understand you need to get him in space, but does his running style, does that concern you a little bit? I mean, all the dancing, like, there's something to be said, and Canty says this. I mean, he's won a Super Bowl. There is, you know, something to be said about a 3 or 4 yard run as opposed to always trying to break it for a home run.
Rick, that's a great point. Coach Parcells always coached Curtis Martin. They always say, hey, Kurt, run for first downs, not touchdowns. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that, meaning that, you know, get the first down. A 4-yard gain sometimes is better than, like you said, you know, these negative plays, which just could kill you. So I think part of it is his natural running style, which you don't want to take away his home run ability. So it's probably somewhere in the middle. And I think you could coach that out of him in terms of, you know, staying with your primary read probably longer a couple times. But again, just to be fair here, you know, you were talking about a really, really talented front seven.
Mr. T, would you make a Jason Garrett's debut as Big Blue's play caller on offense?
I thought it was good. I thought he mixed it up. I thought, you know, again, when you look at the quarterback, if you took out a couple of those plays, which is obviously a big if, I thought Daniel Jones looked better. I thought he looked more efficient, confident. I thought he had good arm strength. So they took their shots a couple times. I thought Slayton really looked good. I thought he played with a lot of juice. So I think it's heading in the right direction. And again, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, again, we're in the first inning here, guys. And in fairness, you know, no preseason games, nothing. So overall, I thought it was encouraging.
Let's analyze the left tackles a little bit. Mike Tenenbaum with us, 98.7 ESPN. Both the Jets and the Giants, brand new left tackles, first round picks. Giants go Thomas 4, Jets go Becton, I believe at 11. What do you think overall of both of these guys in their debuts?
Yeah, I think they're different players, even though they're both first round tackles, because Becton just has a chance to be physically dominant in the run game. He's just not as athletic as Andrew Thomas, but I thought they both, again, for first games, acquitted themselves pretty well. And I think Andrew Thomas, he really reminds me a lot of DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who we had at the Jets, which is a long lever guy, really fluid athlete, maybe not perfect in the run game, but to play football, Dave, in 2020, I think you're going to look back as a Giant fan, be like, say, hey, for the next 5, 6, 7 years, we're really glad we have Andrew Thomas at left tackle. And let's face it, that's been something that's been hard to say lately, especially given what's happened with Nate Solder and kind of the turnstile that's been there. So I think both players will turn out to be good players, but to me, stylistically, they're certainly different.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, I didn't want to have to bring it up just because it still makes me sick to my stomach, but we have you, so I'll ask you. What did you think about I'm not going to ask you about the Jets' performance because it was disgusting, but what did you
I'll
think
ask
about,
you about the Jets. Go ahead.
What did you think about Sam Darnold in his week one game?
I thought he actually played better as the game went on. Here's the part that was really alarming to me, guys. 23 yards on their first 4 drives, and that's really hard to do. So he needs to play better. The whole team needs to play better. And, you know, Jamerson Crowder was clearly their best player, and he's the one guy that can turn a small play into a big play. But they have to figure out a way how to convert third downs, and especially if it's going to be without Lev Bell, to be that has to be Crowder, that has to be Chris Herndon, because they can't rush the passer consistently. So their best chance to win is to they have to convert some of those third downs. And, you know, we saw the best and worst of Josh Allen. I mean, their first 5 drives, it was either a touchdown or a fumble. So they were fortunate that those turnovers kept them in the game to a certain extent. But to me, they have to fix their third down offense because that will give them a chance to really cover up their weaknesses on defense.
Mr. T, I know Adam Gase is your guy, but it's hard for me to believe that he's going to get things turned around when he says what he said about Sunday's game and that he wouldn't change any of his play calls that he had based on the defenses that he was looking at from the Bills. I guess when you start trying to figure out how to fix the issues, if you can't look at things that you're not doing in order to put your players in positions where they can be successful, how can you have any hope that things are going to change?
Yeah, you know, Chris, that's really fair. If you just take Adam, you know, at what he said at face value, I get to say working with him, nobody's tougher on Adam than himself. And I can promise you, that, like, knowing him, he probably hasn't left the building in Florham Park since they got back. So I'm sure he's taking a long look at, you know, what he could do better as a play caller and give them a better chance to win. So, yeah, look, we could all look at it and say it wasn't good enough, wasn't acceptable. And hopefully they'll start turning around because there are some pieces there. The quarterback, a dynamic slot receiver, a really good left tackle. You know, Lev Bell is certainly a top 10 running back. We're in that conversation. That's certainly debatable. So hopefully it starts getting better for them quickly.
DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Mike Tenenbaum with us here, as he will be every Tuesday at 10 o'clock. So Brady, week one, he was not good. That offense didn't look good. I know Mike Evans certainly a little bit banged up. But is there reason for any concern, or you expect that Tampa and Brady and Arians will get rolling at some point soon?
Yeah, you know, it's something that we've discussed. You know, if two people are going in for a test and one person was able to study for 10,000 hours and the other person couldn't study at all, we're going to bet on the person that had 10,000 hours to study. And that's really the difference between that game between Brees and Brady. You know, Brees and Sean Payton have been together for over 10 years, and that was the first time they were together. I think the Mike Evans interception was lack of repetition. I thought the pick six was a bad decision and a terrible throw to throw it outside in numbers late in the down. You have to throw that ball away, and he's going from the far hash, which makes it even a more difficult throw. So I think when it's all said and done, Tampa Bay will be there. You know, again, if you think about it this way, if there's seven teams that make the playoffs, they should make it. And if we're sitting here in September, guys, that's 5 months from now. And I think 5 months of repetition will only make that Tampa Bay offense better.
I will say, Mike, though, there is one test that less experience is actually to your benefit. So he brought up Tampa. I want to bring up, I mean, whenever you talk about Tampa Bay, you're naturally going to bring up what happened in New England. I mean, were you at all surprised, or was that what you expected to see from that offense and Cam Newton?
No, that's so intriguing to me. I wasn't surprised at all. And I think it's going to be more interesting and more diverse. Again, I think they're going to win the division. I think he's going to be the comeback player of the year. I think they're going to be talking about an extension there within weeks, because when you go back to, like, Josh McDaniels, their offensive coordinator, Rick, in 2010, he drafted Tim Tebow in the first round. Yeah. Like, so you know philosophically there's a lot of alignment there. And I think they're just going to make it each week, build on it. I think some weeks you'll see more of the screen game. And even if you think about it, like, some of the RPOs there, they were just, like, regular options where he would put the ball in the belly of the back and then pull it. There's so much more you can do. They had direct quarterback runs, which is a pain in the neck. Look, I've been fortunate, guys. I've worked with Parcells, Belichick, Mangini, Rex Ryan. All four of those guys would say the same exact thing. And, Chris, you know this as a defensive player. When the quarterback can make plays with his feet, it screws up your spacing and it screws up your gap responsibilities. And you put Cam Newton one-on-one with anybody at his size and athleticism, that's a tough matchup. And I think if you're a Patriot fan, a guy you really got to keep an eye on is Enkeel Harry. He was their first-round pick a year ago. Wide receiver, if he could develop even into a B guys, they'll be really hard to beat on offense.
Yeah, he can't fumble that ball going into the end zone, no, Mr. T. He just can't. That can't happen.
That was a great play by Jerome Baker, who I happen to like a lot, undersized linebacker from Ohio State that could really run and hit. But you're right, Harry can't fumble the ball there.
Yeah. Mr. T, I guess the biggest upset of the weekend had to be out in Santa Clara with the Cardinals getting the win over their division rival, the 49ers. I mean, it's a crowded NFC West with the Rams and the Seahawks out there as well. But what exactly is the ceiling of this Arizona Cardinals team?
Yeah, it's really interesting. They're going to be a hard out because early on, and we talked about this, guys, in August, which is it's tackling will be at a premium, especially early on. We saw a number of missed tackles. And with someone athletically like Kyle Murray, we saw, you know, just made a very good 49er defense look bad. So you add DeAndre Hopkins to that group of receivers. They're going to be a hard out just because they could score points. Their offensive line, I think, is just okay. And I think teams will catch up to them a little bit. And if they were in another division, I'd probably like them a little bit more. But they are intriguing. I still see them, despite Sunday's game, behind San Francisco and certainly behind Seattle.
Last one for me, Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. And I know they lost, and the kicker was just, it was awful at the end, but I really like what I saw from Joe Burrow in week one. You agree? I mean, he looked in spots terrific in that game, under duress for most of the game.
Yeah, and you know, I was fortunate enough to see him against Georgia live last year, and it was the first time I realized like what an athlete this guy is. And I think people will be surprised to see that not only can he throw, but boy, he can run and make plays with his feet. So, yeah, but for an OPI call there, that was probably right, but certainly somewhat questionable. And that missed field goal, that could have been the story of the week. And, again, I think you look at that division and you say, wow, you know, Lamar Jackson, dynamic, Joe Burrow, the future is there. And, you know, now all of a sudden, like, who's the next best quarterback? And I think that's what gives our sport such great hope is Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Kyle Murray. Now we're talking about maybe Joe Burrow. Like, there's so many great young quarterbacks, and I think that's why the health of our sport is so bright.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, it can't be just the smoothies that you're drinking every morning. I mean, you need to tell me, because every time you come on with us, the level of energy is through the roof. Like, what's the secret? I need it.
Yeah, Rick, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's something called X2, which is an all-natural, healthy energy drink that actually enhances endurance naturally. And when I was a GM, I saw some of our players use it. And you can get it at x2performance.com, and you should try it as a former professional athlete, because it actually enhances endurance in a natural and safe way. So give it a shot. It's something I take every day. So when I'm on the show, I could stay toe-to-toe with all three of you guys. So I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, you should do the Jets a favor and ship them a couple of cases.
Well, let's just say they may have tried it in the past, so I don't know if they're still using it, but it's certainly, I know it's effective because I use it every day, Chris.
Mr. T, last question for me. I know some people are more surprised at the outcome down in D.C. than we were after talking on the Sunday show, but I got to ask you, the complexion of the game threw me off a little bit, and it gave me some concerns about Carson Wentz, because here you have a quarterback that a lot of people would say is a top 10 kind of guy. He's got a double-digit lead on the road against a division opponent, and he ends up losing that game. Are you a little bit surprised in how Carson Wentz played in the second half of that game against Washington?
So Rick and Dave, let me give our friend Chris the ultimate plug here, which is the absolute truth, because you could roll back the tape. When we did the Sunday morning preview show, Chris unilaterally brought up the change in Washington and the change in culture. And we talked about not only off the field and all the things going on, but also on the field with Coach Rivera. And Chris, I think Coach Rivera and Jack Del Rio deserve so much credit, because I think they showed mental toughness and perseverance from a standpoint. They got down 17-0. So I think there are some issues in Philly with three offensive linemen being hurt. They lost Brandon Brooks. They've lost Lane Johnson. They lost Andre Dillard. So I think Philly definitely has some issues. But we got to tip our caps, guys, to Washington, because – you're down 17-0, you know, anytime, but you got a very young quarterback, never been with this coaching staff before. So I think it says a lot more about Coach Rivera and their leadership. And boy, that anybody that's playing Washington this year, they have 5 first round picks on that defensive line. And I think they're going to be a hard out for a lot of teams.
All right, Mike, we appreciate it. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy the X2 energy drink. And we appreciate a couple minutes. Good stuff.
All right, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. That, of course, Mike Tannenbaum. So that must be terrific, Chris. You get 3 hours on Sunday mornings with him, and then you get him on Tuesday with us as well.
Oh, that's a great listen, Dave. I mean, you got to tune in from 8 to 11 on Sunday mornings. Mike T and I dive into it. We're breaking down all the matchups. It's awesome.
Well, speaking of all the matchups, I have our standings here after week one. Just pull this up here. Rick,
don't even start. I got robbed last night. We all know that was a great pick.
Steven
I got robbed.
Steven Gostkowski. How about Steven
Gostkowski? Take your socks off after the first missed field goal. You haven't been kicking with socks on. Take the socks off. Idiot.
So how about this? This is an amazing stat. He went into the game last night as the most accurate percentage-wise kicker in the history of the NFL. Comes out of the game last night as the 9th most accurate kicker in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, and he cost me the cover. Listen, and it wasn't even okay. You missed the field goal. It's fine. It was the extra point that ended up killing me in the end.
Yeah, killed you.
And not to get can Tannehill. I hate even saying his name, because I got this real weird feeling that Sam Darnold is going to end up turning into Ryan Tannehill, where he flames
somewhere else.
He never reaches his potential because Gay sucks, and then all of a sudden he goes to another team that actually has pieces in place that can get the best out of him. And he has a success with another team and signs a big deal.
Yeah,
but that's besides the point.
So for housekeeping, 0-2-1 for you yesterday?
Yeah, 0-2-1.
0-2-1.
You got Brown wide open in the end zone. Can we
I
drop
think
a pass
caught that
for the touchdown?
Though, no?
You have to dive for it. I mean, you got to make a better throw.
Could have made a little more effort. Can I ask you this? What is Vic Fangio doing?
He has no idea. He still doesn't know.
I'm there's a minute to go. You have 3 timeouts. They're playing for, well, I guess they went for a touchdown, but you can hold them to a field goal. You all you have to do is get, you know, realistically to the other 40. Why is he not taking timeouts? What is Vic Fangio doing at the end of that game?
Well, he was going to take a timeout, but then the running back got tackled out of bounds, and he's going to take another timeout, but they went it was an incomplete pass, I think he said. But he was just counting on the fact that Gostkowski was going to miss another field goal.
Ugh. Did you think he was going to miss that? Come on.
No. We didn't want them to get close, but I don't even care. Like, it's your job as a head coach Like, as bad as Gostkowski's been, like, just plan on in your mind. He's a professional kicker. He's historically been one of the best kickers, and like he's eventually going to make one. So let's at least give ourselves time, if he does kick a field goal, to actually be able to go down the field. And
even if he misses it, all right, so now you have 40 seconds. Odds are you're going to be able to run out the clock. You punt it away. They're not going to get a field goal anyway.
It was ridiculous.
It was awful. That was horrendous clock management. If Joe Judge did that, because I've been calm today, if he did that and we turned on the radio, I'd be crazy this morning. Nuts.
You were all serious this morning, though. I didn't like it.
Why?
Well, because usually you ask us how things are going, how
was
your
night.
Yeah,
you go around the horn and at the beginning of the show, Dave.
Listen, it's serious stuff.
All that stuff.
I haven't watched the Giants play a relevant game in a long time.
Well, yeah, usually, right, I mean,
yeah,
like,
I thought
usually,
you would be
like,
more excited,
foreplay.
Though.
Yeah, yeah, like a little upbeat. Foreplay.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to get right to it.
Like, tease us a little bit.
No, right to it.
You went straight into it. You want to break everything down? You go and play by play?
Speaking of getting right to it, Dave, $2.4 billion?
$2.4 billion.
Ooh.
That is the best thing that happened yesterday. Ooh. In my entire day.
Can I tell you the best thing that happened? I don't know if people realize this or not. That once he gets the 23 of 30 votes.
Which he clearly will.
Okay,
now, by the way,
gets that,
let me ask you this. It's 23 of 30. So the Mets vote?
The Mets are voting yes. They would like the 2.4. They would enjoy having the 2.4 billion.
Yes. Straight.
Do you realize, Dave? I think you probably do. Canty probably does as well, because we watch and see everything. That the second he takes full ownership, 95% of this team, he is worth more money than the three next richest baseball owners combined.
Mm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of money.
I heard Passan say that out of all the professional sports teams owners on this continent, he would only be behind Steve Ballmer.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's
one guy that has more money than him.
That's crazy.
He's got $15 billion. And there's two guys now that I want, Rick. Two. Wonder who they are?
I would love to know who they are.
I want Realmuto.
Of course you do.
And I want crazy. I'll just say crazy and leave it at that. Who is it?
Crazy.
He's crazy. At a minimum, he's quirky. Up to crazy.
At a minimum, he's quirky.
At a minimum. Very outspoken.
Very outspoken. Trevor Bauer.
There you go. I want both.
I want Frankie Lindor. I want Francisco Lindor.
I want all of them.
did you see this new report too? That it looks like they're gonna try to stick Rosario in center field next year.
Oh God,
because that'll
go
sense.
Well.
Because that makes sense.
Because that'll go well. No, I'm
you guys are always
so
trying to turn
this.
Infielders into outfielders. What gives, man? Cut that out.
Because we're so well put together.
Yeah,
it's like
well,
we,
you
when,
have
when
you
ever have you ever given
have,
a
you, Rick.
Have you ever
have
given
to
a one year old
more if Steve Cohen takes over because you got an owner that can outspend the mistakes that Brody Van Wagenen has already made. He can outspend them.
Have you ever given a one-year-old a Mr. Potato Head and said, put it together? That's what this Mets team looks like.
The arm goes where the nose is.
it'll be up his nose in about 5 minutes. The Islanders are in the Stanley Cup Conference Finals, and MSG Plus has a complete live coverage before every and after every single game. Tonight, 7:30, get ready for Game 5 against the Lightning with the team that's been with you all season long, Shannon Butch and AJ, as they preview the matchup on the Islanders game night, then immediately after Game 5, tune back to MSG Plus for complete coverage, including in-depth analysis and player interviews. Your team, your network, MSG Plus, your home for Islanders Stanley Cup playoff coverage before and after every game. All right, Rick, let's start there. Move on from football a little bit for a couple of minutes. And how you feeling? Game 5 tonight, do the Islanders find a way to force a Game 6, or does the season end tonight?
I mean, you're talking about one of the more resilient teams that we've seen in a while. Like, this team has found a way to bounce back. Tampa's a good team, man. Do I expect them to win tonight?
Yeah, you think we'll be talking about it tomorrow and talking about it Game 6?
I will go out on a limb and say I expect the Islanders to win tonight, yeah.
Nice.
Ooh. Can I get a caw too, by the way, Mungie? Can
you
I get a caw?
Breaking? He
nah,
might
not
have caws ready
breaking.
To go.
Find the cacao for me, would you? This is NHL related. This is not breaking, but I mean, since you brought up the NHL, I figured I would let people know. Cacao. Peter Laviolette has been hired as the Washington Capitals.
Oh, there you go. He had it.
I mean, how long do I need to wait to get it?
Yeah, he had to wait for a minute on that.
He didn't know it was coming, and he wasn't prepared with it. This is not his normal show. He probably didn't have it ready to go. I don't blame Brian for that.
Also, another valid point.
Yeah, I mean, excellent point. So I just did it myself. Peter Laviolette, new head coach of the Washington Capitals.
Caw-caw!
And there we go.
There you go.
Signs a 3-year deal. And if he needs an assistant to the assistant, I am very available.
So you would go coach the Capitals?
In a heartbeat.
I'd
go get him
us.
His coffee. I would go get him his coffee.
And you would just leave us. Pick up and go.
Our show is only 2 hours. I could probably, I mean, we're working from home now.
Both.
I could do both.
They're in D.C.
That's fine. I'm not in the studio now, am I?
So you're going to start doing the show from
D.C.?
Another
great point by Rick.
You have a newborn.
I've done the show from Tampa. Yeah. I can do the show from anywhere.
So move to D.C., do the show from there, work as the assistant to the assistant, and there you go.
What would make me any different than Peter Rosenberg? All he wants to talk about is Washington sports anyway.
Yeah.
And he's on the number one show in New York.
That's a fair point. And he was walking with his chest held high.
Advantage,
huh?
DiPietro right now.
Oh, my God.
I feel like I'm watching a tennis match between you two with this conversation.
Yeah, so if he needs someone to get him his coffee, break down film, whatever he needs, go get him his lunch.
He's a good coach, Laviolette, too.
Really good coach.
Really good coach. All right, so, Chris, because we haven't talked a lot of Yankees lately. Football's really, you know, been the dominant topic. But it feels like they've righted the ship and starting to get healthy. And right, you must feel much better today than you did last week about this team.
Oh, yeah, I feel better today than I did last week. I mean, they finished up a 4-game sweep of the O's, and I feel like we put them in the rearview mirror, and now we've got a 3-game set against the Blue Jays. So this is going to be big for us. I mean, we were talking about the Yankees being a team that, you know, at the least would be a wild card, you know, team, but now you're talking about them being able to finish in the top two in the AL East. So hopefully they're able to do that. They're able to, you know, gain some ground on the Blue Jays. We'll see what ends up happening with this set this week. But I feel good about where the Yankees are at right now. Feels like the offense is kind of turning the corner, and you had really solid starting pitching throughout the course of the weekend. And you didn't have any meltdowns from the bullpen. So I think that the Yankees are in a good spot. Based on how they were playing this weekend, I feel good about what we're going to do this week.
That's been the biggest key for them, too. The starting pitching has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
Gerrit Cole stepped up tonight.
Montgomery actually had a good start.
Yeah, which is nice. And then you got Globo Jim Glaber with the glasses on. All of a sudden turned back into what we expected offensively. I had a CMT, too, by the way. You didn't even ask.
You need to say something.
Well, I just figured Tuesday and Fridays were CMTs. Or Tuesdays and Thursdays were CMTs.
I didn't get that memo.
I had one.
Well, why didn't you say?
I didn't know. I was assuming that you knew that I had a CMT.
Well, why
would
you
assume? Like a recap of the football. I can't do one on Monday because we still got Monday Night Football.
Right. All right. Well, I mean, we could do a CMT next.
Do we have time?
We do. There's always time.
Can we be quick?
We can be quick.
All right. Let's do it then.
Well, all right, so we'll continue this conversation, get to the NBA, break, come back, and do a CMT.
I love it.
Okay, that's what we'll do.
It's a nice little finish to the show. A little CMT action.
I love the CMT.
Right into the premature Pirates.
That's right. Who do they have today from our show? Do they have anybody? Frank Gore, 11:30, Jay Williams, 12. So they haven't stolen anybody from our show.
Starting running back for the New York Jets. And by the way, how about Bart? I would love to have been in Bart's class, him grading papers. He was giving the Jets C-minuses.
C-minuses?
Yeah, C's, C-minuses, no D's, no nothing.
No. They were F's across the board.
Yeah, what I can't see.
What was there to be positive about in that Jets game?
A C means average. What were the Jets average with on Sunday?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Were they coached average?
No.
Was their quarterback average?
No.
Was their offense average?
No.
Was their defense average?
No.
No. They were special teams average?
No.
No. They were awful.
Yeah, there was only, I mean, you didn't have enough players, too, that played really well to get the average up.
No. He's drinking that Ecto Cooler right now. ain't nothing average about the Jets.
He's trying to make sure his Colts.
NFL team.
He's trying to make sure his Colts
still work. They're 32 out of 32 in ESPN's power ranking.
They stink.
They're dead last.
We watched every single game this weekend. Right? 16 games over the course of the weekend. Was there anybody that was worse than the Jets? Even the Browns. I would say
Browns
no.
Are bad.
No, not even the Browns.
But at least the Browns. The Browns were down 10-0 and scored a touchdown.
Oh, no, I know. And that's a team that could win the Super Bowl. I know. I get it. You know, you're not wrong. I mean, I made the mistake of watching some of it again this morning, too, which was a mistake.
No wonder you're in such a mood today.
Well, no, I'll tell you what I was mood. The baby finally slept. He slept really good last night. And, of course, I mean, just typical 2020 fashion, the alarm goes off at 4:30 this morning.
Oh,
this alarm is aggressive, dude. Like,
what do you say? 2020 fashion. You set the alarm.
Yeah, but I said it, not to have it go off for no reason. I come bombing out of the bedroom like this is The Walking Dead. I got a shotgun. I got a baseball bat.
Oh, your house alarm.
Yes, my house alarm.
Just the alarm.
No, my house alarm.
Well, what happened?
I have no idea. I come rolling down with a shotgun and a baseball bat like I'm going like all hell was going to break loose.
You'll appreciate this. I actually set the alarm off during the Giants game last night.
What, from jumping around?
Yeah. I jumped and the back door opened a little bit. Scared
everybody
to death.
How much do you weigh currently that the back door opened when you jumped?
Well, I jumped off the table.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Well, we have a little coffee table in front of the couch, and I was standing on that at one point in a big third down play. They stopped them. I jumped off in excitement, and the back door opened a little.
You are an animal.
Yeah.
I was standing on the coffee table.
It was a big third down play. It was a huge, and they stopped them. Good pressure on Roethlisberger. Today on ESPN Daily, Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Tips off tonight, Dan Lebatard joins Pablo to talk about the Heat-Celtics rivalry that developed a decade ago. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Now streaming Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premier access. And also want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. All right, you wanted CMT? You have it. Here's CMT.
All right, here we go, fellas. A little NFL edition of CMT. Maybe we'll do half today, half tomorrow. Got quite a few here. All right, give me what you guys think. The worst loss of week one. I'm going to give you Philly, I'm going to give you Indy, and I'm going to give you the Niners.
All right, I'm going to start
Who's starting, me or Dave?
Either one. I'll start, and then we'll go to you for this one. I'm going to start by telling you that Philadelphia, and not because of the opponent, because I think Washington's actually going to be a lot better, and their defense is good. You led 17-0. You led 17-0, and you were outscored 27 consecutive at the end. So I'm going to marry Philadelphia. I'm going to cuddle Indianapolis because you can't lose to Jacksonville.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
For almost the entirety of the game. And I will trash San Francisco. Not a great loss, certainly, but Arizona's a good team. They were very competitive in that game, the Niners. So that's my order.
Okay, I'm going to marry Indy as being the worst loss. I mean, you can't lose to a team that's actively trying to lose to get the number one overall pick. Like, that just can't happen. Jacksonville punted on the season way before the players got to training camp. So that's the part that's egregious. Indy was a team we thought could contend for the AFC South crown. I'm going to cuddle Philly because even though I don't think Washington should be bad, I can't stomach having a double-digit lead on the road and then finding a way to blow that game. And then I'm going to trash the 49ers loss because I think the Cardinals are actually a good team.
All right, here we go. Next one, Canty, you're up first. Most important win. Most important win of week one. I'm going to give you Cam Newton and the Patriots. I'm going to give you Canty's favorite, Mitch Trubisky and the Bears. And then we saw it last night, 26-16, Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, I am going to go with the Steelers being the most important win. I'm going to marry that one. Just from a confidence-building standpoint, Ben Roethlisberger, after not playing football essentially for an entire year, not throwing a touchdown pass since 2018, having the opportunity to have three touchdowns, no turnovers, and being able to win that game, I think that's going to be huge for him, but also for the confidence that his teammates have in him. So I'm going to say that's the most important win. I'm going to cuddle up to the Pats win. I think that was important for Cam Newton. You know, the way that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels used him to be able to hold up 15 rush attempts. He didn't come out with any nicks or bruises. So the fact that he can do it and he put it on tape, it's going to make it hard for opposing defenses to get ready for them. And I'm going to trash the Bears win because guess what? I still don't think Mitch Trubisky is any good. And I think they'd be better served with trying to find another quarterback. So I'm going to trash that one.
All right. So we can just continue quickly. I'm going to marry the Bears because I think that's the team that needed to win the most. I'm going to cuddle Pittsburgh and I will trash the Patriots because they're going to be fine regardless. One more, Rick. One more.
One more. Here we go. I'm going to give you best performance by a quarterback. Lamar Jackson, 20 of 25, 275 yards, 3 TDs. Aaron Rodgers, 32 of 44, 364, 4 TDs. Or Russell Wilson, 31 of 35 for 322 and 4 TDs.
All right, I'm marrying Rodgers. He was unbelievable. Wilson was also sensational. I will cuddle him, and I will trash Lamar, who was good, but not in the class of those other two.
Agreed across the board.
How about that?
Nice one.
Boom. How about that? That was really, really well done.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.